Blog Talk Radio.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, Now has come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. But the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus.
And when the night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me. Wake up to the sound of music. Mother Mary comes to me, singing words of wisdom. Let it be.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter, who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Journey with Mary. Yes, we journey with Mary every week to some place in the world where she has made an appearance. And she has done this starting in 40 AD in Zaragoza, Spain, and all the way up to the present day, including Medjugorje in Bosnia-Herzegovina and other places presently. But getting those stories takes a while because as they're happening, you got to have someone documenting and writing it up, and that can take months, even years, before we actually get that information. So in any case, we want to bring this information to you so you can make up your mind about what you believe, what you think about it. We're not asking anyone that they have to believe. It's a choice. However, after researching this for a long time, it's pretty hard not to believe. There's so much science, so many artifacts, so many miraculous things that have happened, and so many great testimonies and documentations and investigations over centuries that, wow, something's really happening here, and science is kind of throwing their hands up. They can't explain it. They've tried. They've worked hard at it. They've even tested the visionaries with their brain waves, their pain response, their reactions to stimuli while in their ecstasy with Mary. They filmed things, tested things. They've done all sorts of things. And everything they find points to something supernatural actually going on that they cannot account for or explain by any natural means. Now, you shouldn't have to have that to believe, but it's nice for those who like nuts and bolts proof that we've got it. And not only that, but we've got a couple of times where there's been some photographic proof. And if you think that might be phony or fake, well, you have to realize that at the time over Zeytun, Egypt, 250,000 people were watching while the pictures were taken. So it wasn't like it wasn't there. It was there, and the pictures show exactly what that 250,000 people saw, not just one night, but many nights. And in the end, over 4 years' time, they estimated over 40 million people saw her over that church in Zeytun, Egypt, including President Nasser, the president of Egypt at that time, and investigators from Rome. So just when you think, like, well, I don't know if I believe in this stuff, then you hear something like that, you go, oh, wow. I mean, come on, that's like 3.5 Super Bowl crowds all at once. That's a lot of people. Over 250,000 each night for a number of nights and weeks and over months. So, yeah, pretty fascinating stuff. So the more you research, the more you learn, the more you find. And, of course, there's miraculous artifacts like the Tilma from Guadalupe and the cave wall in Colombia, and there's just all sorts of cool things, the rose petals with engraved images that showed up, you know, in Lipa, Philippines. I mean, there's just so many interesting things that we look at on this show, and the more we look at it, the more it's harder not to believe. And then the messages, oh my gosh, the messages that she gives us, such wonderful, loving, motherly messages of how to get along better, how to love the Lord better, how to stay on the right spiritual path, and then even predictions. And you know what? Not one prediction that she has told the visionaries has not come true. Not one has not come true. Or in other words, all of them have come true, no matter what they were, whether they were little predictions or whether they were major predictions. She has predicted many things. So anyway, our job on this show is we like to bring this information to you and discuss it and see what you think about it all. And in doing so, we are greatly appreciative of your listening and some of you who call in and ask questions. We appreciate that too. But if nothing else, it's a different hour of your life every week, and you learn something that you may not hear anywhere else. Although all this information can be found, that's how I found it. You know, most Catholics, you ask them, and they'll list maybe four or five, maybe six apparitions that they know about. Maybe. I've studied 101, and that's not bragging, because there's close to 2,700 out there. So studying 100 doesn't sound like much when there's over almost 2,700 to investigate. And the sad thing about a lot of those is there's not a whole lot of information. Some of them are very old, and it might be just a short paragraph and nothing much further, but yet something happened because they documented it. So anyway, she's been making a lot of appearances, and we're trying to bring you the best information from the best documented cases to you, so you can see how it all adds up. And tonight we have several of our team members with us. We'll see if Mike, we're trying to see if Mike has got his system fixed. Are you there, Mike? Well, I hear a rush of air, so I don't know if he's been able to get his system to work. But in the meantime, we'll go to Doc in Tennessee. Are you, Doc?
Hello. I'm good. Michael is pretty wicked with that system of his when he gets work, but he's in a bad area right now, so I don't know if we'll hear from him or not. It's a shame.
Okay.
He's on really the line, that good.
So he might be able to hear us even if we can't hear him, and so that's fine. He's here. He's here in some fashion. And then from the great state of Kansas, it looks like we may have our co-host. I don't know if he's going to be able to talk with us, but he's here, and I'm pulling him on. Are you there, Donald?
Yes.
Hey, Donald.
Okay.
Hey, guys.
Well, we'll let you listen and rest your voice. All right. Okay.
Yes.
So, we'll, all right. So he's just listening in, but he's in the studio as well. So we're glad to have all four of us total, and maybe Kathy will show up too. We never know. She's a busy girl, but she may pop in at some point too. So anybody have anything? I guess, Doc, you're the main one I'll be talking to since Mike's got his problems and Donald's just listening. So do you have anything new to report to us? Anything going on in your world?
Just working on my tractor and, you know, trying to get my farm up and running. A lot harder than theory, but
that's
the way it is with anything. When you go from theory to practice, you always find it's a lot harder than you thought. But I got a lot of support, so I'm in a good way.
Well, that's good. Running a farm is a big job. I know. I haven't done it, but I know people who have, and it's full time all the time, 7 days a week, and plenty to do. So
yes, sir.
Good for you.
I just keep thinking all the good vegetables I'm going to eat this year or next year.
It's nothing like homegrown vegetables. They're awesome, better, and of course they're pretty much free when you grow them yourself. So that's a good deal.
Well, thank you.
All right. Well, tonight
where are we
going to visit? Vicenza, Italy. That's Vicenza, Italy. And the year is 1426 and 1428. And she is known as the Madonna of Mount Berico, B-E-R-I-C-O, Mount Berico, the Madonna of Mount Berico.
Where was
and
this again?
Vicenza. Vicenza, Vicenza, Italy. And so it's a rather short story because, again, when we go back this far, 1426, there's probably not a whole lot of written information. So, but this is what we've got on it. At that time, there was so much pestilence and sickness between 1404, 1428, in the region of Vicenza, Italy, that the population declined drastically from death or just getting the heck out of the area. Yeah, kind of like COVID, you know, big, big death rate here.
And well, the difference is with COVID, that is the one in Italy, there was a death rate. COVID, there was no death rate.
Yeah. In those difficult years, Vincenza Piccini, she was age 70, went up the hill each morning to bring food to her husband, who worked in his small vineyard. She led a simple, honest life with a heartfelt devotion to Blessed Mary. Now, again, she's 70 years old. Her name is Vincenza Piccini, P-A-S-S-I-N-I. But she attended church regularly and was mindful of the poor. So she's living a good, simple life. But on March 7th, 1426, at 9 a.m., Vincenza encountered a beautiful woman. We hear that all the time. A beautiful woman on her path up the hill. She said that the woman had, quote, the likeness of a most beautiful queen with garments more resplendent than the sun, wreathed in a fragrance of 1,000 scents, unquote. Well, right away there, we've got several huge likenesses to other apparitions. The first impression is a beautiful woman, and then she's in a bright light, more resplendent than the sun, and she's wreathed in a fragrance of scents, which usually is roses. That is the saints call it the odor of sanctity, the odor of sanctity. So that fragrant floral smell, which usually is roses. And then she also had the likeness of a most beautiful queen, a regal appearance, which the Queen of Heaven is often going to have. So right away, this first description matches everything that we've talked about right away. And even the next line, overcome by the beauty of this woman, Vincenza fell to the ground, dropped to her knees. Very classic visionary response. Then the beautiful woman spoke to her, and she said, quote, I am the Virgin Mary, the mother of Christ, who died on the cross for the salvation of men. I beg you to go and say in my name to the people of Vicenza that they must build in this place a church in my honor if they want to recover their health. Otherwise, the plague will not cease, unquote. Here again, we've got another detail that's classic in about 75% of the apparitions, and that's asking for a church to be built. Now, this isn't a bribe. It sounds like a bribe. You build a church, the plague will stop. You don't build it, too bad. It's not quite like that. But it does sound like that, but it's really not.
That does sound like that.
It does sound like it. You're right. But she knows that if you do something good for the Lord and heaven, that heaven will want to do something to help out. It's like saying a million prayers, you know. Right. You build something special like that, it's like a million prayers, and it just might help the plague end. So it's a little bit of a bribe, but it's a good one. Now, the old lady, Vincenza, she wept with joy. And here she was, kneeling in front of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Madonna. But then she asked her, quote, "But the people will not believe me. And where, O glorious mother, will we find the money to do these things?" Good questions. And the Virgin Mary replied, quote, "You will insist so that my people do my will. Otherwise, they will never be rid of the plague. And until they obey, they will see my son angry with them. As proof of what I say, let them dig here, and from the rock, living water will spring. As soon as the building begins, money will never lack." So it was definitely investing in this situation. They're going to have a spring of water, which probably, my guess, is going to have healing powers, is going to pop right up there from a rock. And boy, we heard that at Lourdes. We heard that at La Salette. We've heard that at other places where water will suddenly spring up from under a rock and then all sorts of things happen. We'll see. And yeah, she also promises that when the building begins, money will never be a problem.
Well, see, you know, that's the thing, you know, John, when she asks, where are we going to get the money for this? I don't know if it's just me, but, like, if Mary's coming up and saying, I want this done, I wouldn't even be worried about the money. I mean, yeah, okay, you want this done. I imagine you're going to give me the resources to do it. So, you know, but that's just the way my brain works. You know, I don't think about trivial things like money.
We know that the Holy Spirit and Mary both are very influential in gentle persuasion and gentle inspiring people to do things in a generous way. And when they say there won't be a problem, they're saying, we're going to be working on a lot of people to get behind this.
I'd be more... I mean, you know, I don't think she'll ever come to me and ask me to want to build a church. Please don't. But the thing is, I'd be more concerned not so much about the monetary as I would to all the other opposition that you get. Like, now, back then, well, this is 1426, probably not as much opposition, especially because they're dealing with a plague and stuff. But, like, nowadays, you try to open something, a church, build a church, something like that, with the society that the U.S. has gone, the way that we've gone as a country, I could just see the battle lines being drawn. And that's
bad. Probably just shoot all the workers. I mean, the way these days are going, someone with an AR-15, just gun them all down, and that takes care of that.
Right.
So, oh, gosh. So, yeah, you're right. Quite different these days. So, and she has said this in other apparitions. She'll say, don't worry, I will always be there to help. And sure enough, visionaries always had someone come forth and offer money or offer supplies or do something. And just when they really need it, someone will come up and be inspired to help in some unexpected way. So kind of neat that heaven has a way of kind of assisting as long as we... I mean, as long as we take the first steps and are working on it, then they do all this assisting and inspirational stuff. But they got to start with somebody to head it up and to oversee it. So And here's this lady at 70 years old. I mean, can you imagine at 70 years old in 1426? That's pretty remarkable, as just right there that she even made it to 70.
Yeah. During a plague.
Yeah, during a plague, and then she's asked to build a church. So, wow. You wonder how heaven picks their people, but, you know, one of the visionaries in another apparition asked Mary, why us? Why don't you pick someone better? And she said, I don't always pick the best people, but I just pick the people I know that's going to make it happen.
Right.
So you don't have to be brilliant. You don't have to be even super religious. But if you're the kind of person that'll get it done, heaven already knows it. So that's pretty cool. All right. So I'm going to read that last part just again, because that's a pretty big message. Mary had told her, you will insist. In other words, you won't quit. You're going to persist so that my people will do my will. Otherwise, they will never be rid of the plague. Till they obey, they will see my son angry with them. As proof of what I say, let them dig here, and from the rock, living water will spring. So it's kind of like, okay, here's a little miracle, guys, you know. Just dig right here, and water's going to spring up, just like at Lourdes and just like at La Salette and those other places. And as soon as the building begins, then money will never be a problem. Okay, so that's what she said again to start all this. And after saying that, Blessed Mary took a twig and with a graceful movement traced the sign of the cross on the ground. And she also drew the shape of the church to be built. Finally, she planted the twig in the ground where the high altar of the shrine stands today. Wow.
Wow.
So, and she's done that before. We had not too long ago the snows in Rome that were in the shape of a church to be built. And once the people staked it out and marked it, then the snow melted in August. So,
right.
Yeah. So there's another example. And I know of another time or two where Mary's told them how they want the church built, including the huge one in Washington, D.C., the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception there. Wow, that came from an apparition in the Midwest where Mary laid out the plans how she wanted that church built and built in Washington, D.C. But very few people realize when they visit that beautiful, grand place, which I've been fortunate to be in, to know it came also. Yeah, it came from an apparition, from Mary's plans. So we don't give her the credit we really need to for a lot of this. She does stake out, draw, design, locate, and point out where things need to happen, and luckily they have. So she then says to Vincenza, quote, all those who visit this church with devotion on my feast days and on every first Sunday of the month will be given an abundance of grace and the mercy of God and the blessing of my motherly hands, unquote. Well, that's pretty cool. And it's interesting, the first Sunday of the month. That's the first time I've heard that.
So it's got to be that church?
All those who visit that church with devotion on her feast days and on every first Sunday of the month will be given an abundance of grace and the mercy of God and her blessing.
I don't think I'm going to be able to make that trip.
Yeah.
Be nice.
So, yeah. Then Vincenza immediately obeyed the beautiful woman and began telling everyone that she met. Well, you know how that went.
Yeah, crazy old lady.
That's right. She realized nobody believed her. Yeah, crazy old lady. The plague was foremost on everyone's minds. Even Bishop Pietro Emiliani gave little credence to her story. So as Mary predicted, the plague raged on. Vincenza resumed her work, performed deeds of charity, and climbed the hill on feast days to pray on the spot where Madonna had appeared. It's really sad, you know. She really tried, told everybody, but as we often see, people just don't listen, don't believe, don't have faith.
Yeah.
And that's sad. But Mary's not done. 1828, so this is about 2 years later, the Virgin Mary appeared again to Vincenza. She repeated her previous warning and recommendation for the health of the people. Because of the horrific conditions of the ongoing plague, people chose to believe her this time. Okay, they're willing to try anything now.
Yeah.
So the, yeah. I mean, that plague, I mean, you know, just like COVID, it just rages and everyone's dying, you know, you're going to do whatever. If heaven says, hey, we'll fix this if you do this, you bet they're going to start building a church now. So the Hall of Government decided to build a church on Mount Barako, beginning construction just 24 hours after this last apparition. Talk about a heavenly spark.
Really?
Wow. 24 hours after this apparition, they started constructing the church. I think they began to believe the old lady. And as soon as the church was completed, the plague disappeared. And the region no longer suffered. How about that?
Did the spring ever come forward?
Did what?
The spring.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll see about that in just a second here. The lady had spoken of water that would spring from a rock at the place where the shrine was to be built. While digging in the ground, quote, a wonderful and incredible quantity of water welled out like a spring, overflowing like an abundant river that ran down the hill with great noise. And we'll see in a minute if there's healings that come from that. But yes, the spring did rush forth as predicted. So all that's coming to pass just as she predicted. A beautiful statue of the Madonna of Mount Barako is enthroned within this shrine. It is, quote, an imperious image in marble, painted with skill in various and precious colors. It depicts the Madonna with an open smile. Her head is framed by curls, and she wears a gold-decorated veil, a gold-colored dress, with a greenish gold-edged mantle. Figures of children, women, and men are huddled beneath the mantle that drapes over the Virgin's extended arms. I've seen this, and if anyone goes to my website, divinemysteries.info, and go to apparitions, and then go to the country of Italy, and then look up Vincenza, you'll see this picture. And, man, there's a lot of people under her mantle. It looks like a whole city block of people. And she's got her arms outstretched, and all these people are crowded underneath her mantle that's stretched out. She also wears necklaces. What's that?
I said no place I'd rather be.
Yeah, no kidding. She also wears necklaces and a golden crown there by Cardinal Giuseppe Sarto, the Patriarch of Venice, who later became Pope Pius X. Well, how about that? So the guy, the cardinal who placed the golden crown on Madonna of Mount Barico, later became Pope Pius X. That's pretty cool. Go ahead.
So that is cool.
Yeah. All right. So during the First World War, the city of Vicenza was behind enemy lines. Thoroughly frightened, people made a solemn vow to the Madonna of Mount Barico, promising that if they and their lands remained safe, they would observe the birthday of Madonna every year in a special way. Now who's bribing? Now the people are saying, hey, we'll do this for you if you do this for us this time. So, again, they're asking, making a solemn vow to Madonna of Mount Barico, promising that if they and their lands remain safe, they will give her a special birthday every year. She granted their prayers, so every year on September 8th, great crowds visit the sanctuary to offer their gratitude. People also honored her wish for devotion on first Sundays of every month. So two large chapels were added to this grand basilica in 1972, along with 30 additional confessionals. The Servants of Mary took possession of the shrine in 1435 and are still ministering to pilgrims today, almost 600 years later. Oh,
let
it go.
Took possession?
Say that again.
Who is it? What order took possession?
The Servants of Mary, which I've not heard of them, but the Servants of Mary took possession in 1435 and are still running it today, 600 years later. Man, that is dedication. That is so cool. Then on his visit on January 11th, 1978.
Wait a minute, question. What year did the Servants of Mary take on?
1435.
Write it down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And remember, the apparitions began in 1426, so not in 1428. So 7 years after the church was built, they took control. So that's pretty cool. So on his visit on January 11th, 1978, Pope Paul VI announced, quote, "We decree that the Most Blessed Virgin Mary be honored with the name of Madonna of Mount Barico, and that from now on truly be the principal patron next to God of the city and diocese of Vicenza," unquote. So that was Pope Paul VI in 1978. But on August 22nd, the year 2000, Pope John Paul II sent a message to the Patriarch of Venice recounting his own visit to the Madonna of Mount Barico. Quote, "I, too, had the joy of making a pilgrimage to the Shrine of Mount Barico on the 7th and 8th of September, 1991, to ask the Blessed Virgin to bless the people of the area and to show herself to be the tender and provident mother of those who suffer and those who long for justice and peace." How cool. So even though it began in 1426, they're still honoring it in the year 2000 through Pope John Paul II. That is so awesome. And that is the end of our little story. So, again, many parallels, many similar details from the bright, regal woman in The Beautiful Lady in the Bright Light and all of that, and her request for a church to be built and the smell of flowers and, you know, all of that, just so typical of these stories that we find. And then a plague indeed ending when the church got built. And then Mary's promise to keep them safe, which she did during the war. They all lived through it, and their lands were safe. And they still honor her every year on her birthday. So what a deal. So I guess you can deal with heaven, can't you?
Yeah. You got to hold up your end first.
Yes, indeed.
I think heaven's already held up this time.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see if Mike's on now. Mike, are you there, Mike? Well, he's online. I can't hear him. Yeah, I hear the air. But he's called in several times trying to get it to work. He's on, and he probably can hear us, but we just can't hear him. And Donald is still listening out there, and you and me, Doc. So
yeah,
it's our little story. And I just think it's short and sweet. It has a lot of the familiar elements and a lot of impressive dedication to our faith for things to happen. And I think we need to remember that out there, that, you know, things don't happen unless we really dedicate ourselves to our faith and ask for these graces and ask for this help and ask for things, as Mary says, many people never ask. And she's got all these graces to bestow, but no one's asking for anything. We hear that numerous times where she complains of that. So, now, that doesn't mean you always get your wishes. Yeah.
Sometimes the answer is no.
Yeah, it's like the kid who asked his parents for a new video game, but he hasn't cleaned his room, he hasn't done his chores, and he's been tormenting his sister and kicking the dog. You don't just get what you want because you ask. So, I think it reminds all of us that we need to truly be holy and truly be respectful and loving and caring to each other. This world is so messed up right now, just so messed up. The devil's just loving this. I know he is. He's just loving all the chaos and confusion and death and destruction, and he's loving it, but we all know he's going to lose in the end. So, oh, dear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think the fight will come during my lifetime.
Yeah. Bring
it on.
He just might return. Yep. Well, yeah. People often worry it's going to be the end of the world. It's not the end of the world if he comes back. It'll be a rebirth. It'll be a cleansing. It'll be a whole new deal. And that's why we're working hard to stay on the right side of this situation here and stay holy and stay focused and appreciate what Our Lady has done for us and what heaven is doing and what Jesus is doing, and that this is all very real and active, and people don't realize that it's very real and very at this time.
I was talking to this woman the other day. I don't know what her religious affiliation is, but she had asked me something. I can't remember exactly what it was that she even asked me, but my response was that we are in one of the most tremendous battles the world, mankind has ever seen, and it's just beyond our perception, and that we're constantly under attack, and we are constantly being bombarded, And my attitude is this. Charge. I'm part of the church militant. I am a berserker with the battle cry, the crucifix in one hand and a rosary in the other, and I'm smacking them down. And no matter what Satan throws at us, I laugh it off because he has nothing. What's it say, 300 plus times in the Bible, don't be afraid?
Yeah, 365.
Yeah, 360 times. So, yeah, I mean, and when I said that to her, she was dumb. I mean, she really didn't have anything to say. She had, because it wasn't the answer she was expecting. You know, I mean, it like totally came out of nowhere. But it was the right answer for the question. She had to stop and think. I hadn't spoken to her since. You know, I had to leave, and you know, but I'll see her again. But I just wonder if, you know, planting a seed like that will do anything. I hope it does.
Well, you never know. I mean, that's like when I write my book, you know, the one that you just read, you see how many questions and points that you hear out there that are in that book, and how I tried to find answers for every point and confusion and mistakes and that people have on their minds, and back it up with good evidence. And but that's why I wrote that, because I'm sick and tired of hearing all those comments out there. And I thought, let me at them. I want to tell them. Yeah.
You know, I want proof. Really, you're not looking.
That's right.
You're not looking. There's proof. Trust me. There's proof.
And that's why I put 85 pictures in that book, so they not just hear about it, they can see it with their own eyes. It exists. It's real. Well, next week we are going to Genoa, Italy, and it's the year 1490, and it's Our Lady of the Guard is her nickname, Our Lady of the Guard, and it's in Genoa, Italy, 1490. So I don't think it's a real long story either, because a lot of these older ones aren't, but we'll still be in Italy next week. So, as I always told Donald, pack your bags. We're on the move. Yeah. Mike called in again, and I put him on, but I don't know. Can you hear us, Mike? Can you say anything? He's tried like 5 or 6 times.
I hear it sounds like wind.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah. That might have been him.
That probably was.
Sounds like he's in another dimension. Kind of like that movie Poltergeist. That movie Poltergeist. And the girl hears the voice through the TV screen.
TV.
I think there. Mike's in the TV. He's in the TV trying to talk to us. Oh, my gosh. Poor Mike. Well, Doc, do you have anything else tonight you want to mention?
No,
or
I'm good.
We can go? All right. Well, I'm going to mute us, and we'll begin our final rosary. Saying our Hail Mary worldwide. So we're going to do that now. And thanks, Doc, for all that you did tonight. And we'll see all of you next week, and we will be hopefully have some more of our team back with us. It's just one of those nights, but it's fine. Our story is always the same, no matter who's here with us to talk about it. So I ask everyone out there to say a Hail Mary with me, and around the world, no matter what time zone, no matter what country you're in, as we say this together, our voices will unite and rise to heaven in unison all around the world at the same moment. How cool is that? So join with me now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. God bless every one of you who tuned in tonight. We hope that this was helpful, inspirational, interesting. And if you follow apparitions, another beautiful nugget on the pile of great appearances that she's made with classic symptoms, classic details, very consistent themes. And that's one of the beauties of something that's real, is that you'll see that. You don't see that with fantasy or imagination or hallucinations. They go 1,000 different directions. But reality will be consistent from one decade to another, from one country to another, from one century to another. And that's what we're finding here. So join us next week as we stay in Italy and go to Genoa for that story, Our Lady of the Guard. And with that, we'll close out. See you next week.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show, an in-depth examination of the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host has been John Carpenter, an expert on more than 90 confirmed apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Be sure to join us again as we examine another Marian apparition in depth, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.